Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
You heard Eamon mention in the news bulletin there, €97 million. That's what the state spent on the salaries of teachers in private schools just last year. In the academic year from the previous September, the Department of Education paid the salaries of teachers in 52 fee-paying schools right across this country. And new figures out as well show that the private salaries cost the state the guts of about £1.7 million more in 2019 and 2020 in that school year than the previous. So should the state continue to support fee-paying schools in this way? We want your view on it this afternoon here on Lunchtime Live. It's 53106. Gareth is on the line. Thanks for being with us here on the show today, Gareth. What's your view on this?
Hi. I think the children going to fee-paying schools are citizens of the country the same way as children are going to non-fee-paying schools. Flummoxed as to why we've got the amount of money spent on salaries in teachers in fee-paying schools, and we weren't given the amount of money spent by the government in salaries in non-fee-paying schools. And I suspect there's no suggestion that teachers in non-fee-paying schools are anything on a lower grade or scale of remuneration than than those in fee-paying schools. I mean, the parents of those children, they pay their taxes, whether you send your child to a fee-paying school or a non-fee-paying school, it's all the same. So the return, if we're in this together, as it were, has a taxation system, then we should receive from it the same way I would have thought.
So you don't necessarily think it's a bad thing then, Gareth?
No, I think the more choice there is, the better. And for different reasons, people like to have, to top up what they're paying in their taxes for whatever they like. Or, you know, they have different reasons for. Some people are interested in the language, other people are interested in religion, other people are interested in some type of sporting activity, whatever it is, or dance or whatever. So, I mean, the more choice there is available for people, or their teaching methods or whatever, I think the better. And it's great. I think that people take an interest in their children and their children's education, and are willing to sit on boards and do all the rest, and give it an impetus. And I would think also, as we said, that when it comes to the capital expenditure, when it comes to trying to build a hall or a new classroom or a lab or whatever it is, we haven't been told what's the situation there. Do the private schools, as you call them, do they get as much money as the non-private ones? And the fee-paying ones get as much money as the non-fee-paying ones. As I understand it, there's always a bit of a shortfall that the fee-paying schools have to make up. That this isn't the case for those that are run by what used to be the vocational boards.
Okay.
I think it's actually the other way around, that those who are going to fee-paying schools are, not getting a fair, return from their taxation, from the tax plan.
Right.
The others are.
Okay. 1890 453 106, if you want to join us here on Lunchtime Live today. Peter is also on the line. Peter, you were the principal of a state primary school. What's your own thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, good afternoon, Andrea. I have no axe to grind either way, but I was incensed on the breakfast show this morning where Arthur Godsell was making some very valid points, a third of which I only heard because the other contributor kept shouting over him. But I would feel that if we look at it in a wider way, in a cost-benefit analysis, if the state were to replace those 52 schools with state schools, because those students have an equal right to education as every other student in the country, that would be very, very costly. Probably 10 to 15 million, 20 million maybe per school. The other thing is, I think value for money, the state are paying the salaries of some teachers, and parents have exercised their right to choose to pay school fees, and other teachers or specialist teachers are brought in. The pupil-teacher ratio in fee-paying schools is higher than the state schools, but the fact
I would have thought it was lower, Peter.
Well, yeah, if you take the whole thing, but like for Gaelic maths, English, history, geography, science, the pupil teacher ratio is higher. But how it seems to be lower is they get in extra teachers to do more kind of less popular subjects, if you know what I mean. So there may only be 10 or 12 in a class as opposed to the 28 or so. But also fee-paying schools are responsible for their own maintenance, mm-hmm. upkeep, the provision of buildings, which the state doesn't have to. And the state would then have to take all that over. And really, my three children went to a state post-primary school. I think the situation is those parents have, well, I know the situation is those parents have paid tax on all the money that they're putting into their children's education. And I mean, it is a right, and it's a very narrow view of people like the Labour Party and other populist parties to sort of say, oh, we should stop this.
Yeah. So you think it's value for money, so, Peter?
I think, yeah, from the state's point of view, it's value for money. To a fee-paying school, the high school in Dublin, my parents were hard-pressed to pay the fees, but I mean, you know, it suited us. But my own children's state school, New Park, it was fine. You know, it was very good as well.
One of the points that was been made today, and you know, there's been a lot of different contributions on this, over the past couple of hours since I suppose the conversation kind of kicked off. These are figures that have been released, I think, through a Freedom of Information request.
Sure.
But the suggestion that it sort of further creates that two-tiered education system, Peter, as somebody that has worked in the state side of it, in the public sector, in the primary school provision of education, do you see that? Does that actually happen?
A child who's interested in learning and, you know, applies themselves is going to learn wherever they are. I mean, we used to have guys in school who, if they'd been feeding the ducks in St. Stephen's Green, I mean, they still have achieved. There is some validity in that. You know, that some people would love to have their children attend a fee-paying school, but they can't afford it. But I mean, I know in Belvedere College and in my own former alma mater, the high school in Rathgar, they're moving to a situation where bursaries are being given to the children who their parents wish for them to attend those types of schools, and they're not attending because of money. I mean, I suppose the same argument could be made with regard to the two-tier health service.
Let me bring in Brian as well. Gareth and Peter are still with us here too on Lunchtime Live. Brian has also got in touch with us. What's your own view, Brian?
Good afternoon. I suppose I'm a product as well of the state secondary school system. And, you know, I got a good education, went to college, never felt any disadvantage. But I suppose adding on what the contributor this morning on breakfast said, you know, they're like all parents, regardless of income, care about the children's education. So there's a lot to be said for having pride in the state secondary school system, that we can deliver a level playing pitch for all children. And then basically everyone has an equal start. The perception, and to be honest, I work in finance and I've worked with a lot of people who've come from the state system and from the private system. There is an elitist wall around private education. Basically, there is added advantage there.
Do you think that's just perception though, Brian?
I've worked with people for years who kind of had, when I was in secondary school, you know, we had basically, if we got one tour in the 5 years, we were doing well. And I had these guys kind of banging on about kind of rugby tours of South Africa in sort of junior third, inter third, fifth year. That kind of stuff, that kind of advantage isn't afforded to the state system. And if we're kind of looking at sort of where the redress goes, if you decide to opt out of the public system and go private, fine, but you bear the cost. And basically then equal advantage is delivered to everyone in the state system. But ultimately, there shouldn't be a two-tier system there.
Yeah.
It should basically be equal advantage for all. So a child then rises according to their ability and not according to the ability of their parents to pay.
What do you make of that, Peter? You're still with us here as well in Lunchtime Life.
It is a valid point. I mean, I'm willing to listen to other points of view. I mean, yeah. I was just giving that point of view. I mean, the situation is in my parents' case, and in a lot of the parents' cases in the primary school that I was in, there was nobody driving up to school in a Maserati or Lamborghini or anything like that. They were all people who were burdened with mortgages, but they made the conscious decision of saving. They saved for whatever it was, 10 years until such time as their children were going to post-primary school. And they made a conscious decision that they would try and give their children, and that, as we all do, as Brian said, try and give our children the best that we can do. And I don't think that we should be depriving people of that choice. And by the way, I am a very strong advocate for state education. I mean, the one I'm very experienced in is primary school education, and you won't get better than the primary schools in this country, and I'm sure the secondary schools, the fee-paying ones, are not far behind. But we also bear in mind that while a lot of secondary schools, the post-primary schools, the fee-paying ones, I mean, they have, you know, X percentage of students go to university. A lot of the top schools are state schools.
I was going to make that point, Brian. Like, when you look at the, you know, the feeder lists that come out, and there's often then a discussion about whether or not they should be published in the first instance. But when those sort of, the lists, you know, come out every year to show X percentage of pupils from, you know, all the schools across the country who went to what university, you know, or to what college or whatever they did, like, there is not a huge disparity, though. If anything, I would have thought the state schools were higher up that list.
And I would agree. Like, certainly I live in Kinsale, and there is an excellent community school here. And, you know, sort of, as I said, I've come to the state system and I encountered no disadvantage. But I suppose it's, you know, sort of the perception, and in some cases it's the reality, that there is additional benefits arising out of the state system, or sorry, out of the private system. Additional grinds, sort of additional sporting facilities, et cetera, that aren't afforded to those in the state sector. And it's ultimately, by all means, if, you know, sort of, it's one thing for it to be offered as part of school, as opposed to, say, somebody who's going through the state system and then has to pay for it as additional cost separately. Mm. But when it's being included as part of your basic daily school process, that's an additional advantage compared to those who are basically in the state system.
Okay, so you mean, sorry, when in private schools, when the extra sort of activities and extracurricular stuff, that's all paid for additionally?
Exactly. Yeah. And in part, that is funded by the state paying for teachers, because then that money is channeled elsewhere from the fees.
Well, I would have thought that in a lot of cases, and I heard Arthur Godsell actually talking about that point earlier this morning, that in a lot of instances, that money is used on and needed to pay for the teacher salaries.
Well, Arthur Godsell's point this morning was a bit disingenuous, because he tried to deflect talking about...
Well, I suppose, yeah, he was given his own experience. Like, he has, you know, been the principal of a school for, I think, nearly over 20 years, a private paying school. I'm a product myself of both, actually. I've went to the local state school for 4 years and then went to a private school for 2 years. And I know that anything extra that we did in the school, you know, it was absolutely paid for by the students. But look, that's only, I suppose, that's still going back now at this stage over maybe, what, 10 or 15 years ago at least, anyway. But, look, we're going to stay with this conversation. It's 1894 53 106 if you want to join us here on the programme. Well, we're talking about private schools and the fact that the state spent 97 million on the salaries of teachers working in private schools just last year. We're asking whether or not you think the state should continue to contribute the financial support in this way. It's 1890 453 106 if you want to join us live on air today. Ed has got in touch on the News Talk text line to say the state is getting a good deal for 97 million. If the private schools didn't exist, the teachers' salaries would have to be paid anyway, along with the cost of actually building and providing for the schools. And besides, the coping classes are entitled to get something for the high taxes which they pay. Helene is wondering, will the parents of fee-paying children get a tax reduction if the teachers are not paid for from the state, as they too pay a share of the taxes? You can keep them coming into us. Paul is on the line. Paula, you don't see a difference between public and private?
No, I don't. I think every child has the right to an education. And from our experience, we've had children in both public and private schools. And I can only really comment on primary level at present, but the curriculum is set by the state and we've seen no difference from an educational point of view. We actually made the decision to move two of our children from a private school to a public school. And in one instance, the class size was actually significantly smaller in the public school than it was in the private school.
Okay, because that would often, I'm sure, be the experience that people wouldn't expect to hear. You're still with us, Paula. You can hear us. Okay.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, no, I just said like you're speaking from experience, and usually people would probably expect you to say the opposite with regards to class sizes.
Yeah, no, as I said, one of my children, her class size was actually smaller and we really felt that she benefited from that. But I also think it's important to take into account that teachers are public servants and they're paid by the state and that they have to deliver a consistent curriculum to every child in the country, regardless of whether they're in a public or private school. So, you know, I think the standard of education is the same across the schools, regardless.
What about the fact that the private fee-paying schools, Paula, they're obviously in receipt of the fees that the parents are paying on an annual basis, and therefore whatever money is left over might be able to be used, well, some schools will say for extracurricular stuff and then in other fee-paying schools, because they aren't all the same and the fees are very, very different right across the board. So there wouldn't be that same level or that same surplus left over each year for extracurricular activities. So do you think there's no disadvantage then?
From an educational point of view, no. I can't speak for, you know, other extracurricular activities that schools provide. I mean, that varies from school to school. But certainly from an educational point of view, we have seen no difference between the schools.
Are your children still in the school system, Paula?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Yes.
And you've had the experience, obviously, of both.
Yes, and I attended both myself, both at primary and at post-primary level, and I had good and bad experiences of both. But certainly from an educational point of view, I don't think there's a disadvantage, and I think it's a fallacy to say that your child will get a better education necessarily in a private school, you know, over a public school, because that hasn't been our experience in any case.
Okay. Alan in Wicklow has got in touch with us here on the News Talk text line. He says, I don't work in a private school, I work in a public school, but I do think the government should continue to pay this. The government pays more each year on workers' pay slips because they still post them out. If the government stopped supplementing this, a lot of parents would be priced out of sending their children to private schools, and then the government would end up paying for these kids in the public system anyway. It's 1894531106. Let me bring Chris in too, Paula. Chris, you sent your own child to a fee-paying school. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we decided to send our first son to an interdenominational co-educational German-speaking school, you know. And I believe that, you know, the state's really interfering with the choice of families on an awful lot of things, you know. And if you decide to send your kid to, such a private school to give them advantage, instead of changing their car or going on foreign holidays, or maybe having an extra pint every night, it should be up to families. And I think if they're only spending $100 million on it, that's buttons out of the education budget, you know. The education budget runs into billions. And I think it adds to the diversity in the country.
Okay.
So I think it's good value for money. And it's, you know, they're destroying a lot of, you know, choice. If you decide to spend your money on educating her, now we didn't send the second son there, and he started right from infants, right to secondary.
Okay.
And he sat the German exam, you know, which, now I sent the second son to state's education, and he got a brilliant education, you know.
Yeah, so you have the experience of both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it should be left to parents to decide. And, you know, to get rid of those 50 schools in the country, it really would take away from, you know, the cultural and educational quality.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's more probably a question around whether or not the state, though, should, you know, continue to make the financial contribution or to support the fee-paying schools in that particular way with regards to salaries.
Yeah, well, I'm old enough to remember I went myself to a fee-paying school. It was a religious, you know, Christian school. But the fees were nominal, you know, and it was was a brilliant classical education.
Okay.
And it was brilliant. But the fees were really small. You know, Donna O'Malley brought in, you know, secondary education, which was brilliant, you know. It's a great system. But I really think that people should be still allowed.
Okay, so you won't, yeah, the choice. Yeah, I have to say, you know, it's a lot of people sharing your view too, Chris, here on the News Talk text line. Another listener, Ava, as well, she's got in touch to say the government should support the education system in this way. Education is the most important part of any nation. As a taxpayer, as well, I prefer all the high tax that I pay to be used and to support the education system. More listeners too, as I mentioned, Chris, getting in touch too, to say they want to continue to have the choice. And also people saying that they say it's good value for money, the 97 million, that the state should continue to pay it. You can keep them coming in to us. It's 53106. Chris and also Paula, thanks for getting in touch with us here on Lunchtime Live this afternoon. Now, a little earlier here on Lunchtime Live, we were talking about the calls for the state's financial support of fee-paying schools to be, well, phased out effectively, because there's new figures out today under the released from the Freedom of Information Act, but they effectively show that the Department of Education has spent over 97 million euro on the salaries of the teachers in the private schools last year. Owen is on the line. Owen, you are a teacher. What's your own point on the fee-paying schools?
Yeah. Hi, Andrea. Look, my point is the education is the same and everyone's entitled to an education according to the Constitution. There's no real argument with the money. It saves us money. It saves the state money, having the private school. So it would cost more money. But I really think these arguments are kind of red herrings, because the real reason private schools exist is to continue the privilege that they give. So to remove them would cost money, but it would also remove this privilege. So,
do you really think that's why they exist, though?
Oh, that's exactly why they exist. So, like, are we, I think as a society, are we okay with allowing this privilege to exist? These schools restrict access via money and via, say, if you're particular special needs, they have subtle ways of restricting access.
How do you...
Simple little things that they do... is they will say, oh, we don't have the, if say you want to send your child there, we don't have the expertise to deal with your child, so why don't you send them across the road and they have the expertise?
I didn't think that by law, to be honest. Do you teach in a state school?
I do. I teach in a deaf school.
Okay. So you think this the continuation of the subsidising of the salaries of teachers in fee-paying schools, it is effectively creating this two-tier system?
Look, it's creating a two-tier system. I would rather pay extra for all of these students to go to the state system.
Okay.
And then have everyone on a level playing field, where there's not this old boys club, say in law or financial services, that there's all of these people with their ties from various schools that we all know that mind themselves. It's that enclave of privilege that's really, really it's endemic in society. It's the schools that we all know. It's the schools that play rugby. And they're the people who run high finance in the country. And we all know what happened 10 years
right.
ago with that.
Yeah. Okay.
It's this. It's a privilege.
Yeah, well, I spoke to another caller earlier who talked about it actually being sort of more of a perceived privilege than anything else at the moment. But can I just bring in Aisling as well, actually? It's 1890 453 106 if you want to join us here. Aisling, you went to school in Canada, is that right?
Yeah, I'm Canadian, so I've grown up in a different school system and now kind of trying to navigate my way through this school system with my child. And I would agree with Owen 100%. Looking at the way the schools are run, how you get in, how you apply, it's not equal. And we kind of are driving inequality from the get-go in our kids. And you see that as well, because parents are driving their kids all over Dublin to different schools that are perceived as good schools or bad schools. And it affects everything from traffic to parents, how they can work. And it just drives inequality from the get-go.
What's the system in Canada?
It's run different based on each province. It's responsible for education. So the province where I'm from, they offer a non-religious school and then religious school in the minority. So the minority where I'm from would be Catholic. So there was a Catholic and then a public school board. And you had the choice of French or English. so one of four really, French, Catholic, French, English. And you show up, you register, and the school board would send more teachers to that school if there were too many children for the class. So they'd have two classes the next year rather than saying to the kids and the parents, oh, we've no space for you.
It nearly sounds perfect, Ashley.
Yeah, well, nothing's perfect. We still had prefabs. Neighbourhoods changed. There'd be more kids some years, less years. You know, they'd have to change.
But do you think it's a fairer system as a parent?
Oh, 100%. It was one pot. There's less people making a profit. You know, it was run really well. It all came from our property tax. You showed up, you got your books. They use the math books every year. You didn't pay for your books. It was fair. You had time outside at lunch. You were bused to and from school, all from taxes. And it let parents work. We got home from school at about 4 o'clock. And you also learn it's not just from books. You go to people's houses after school. They might have a young single parent. Their parents might have been refugees or asylum seekers. And, you know, we are all talking about a bubble now. Do you really want to put your kids in a private school bubble where they're only surrounded by people who can afford to go to that same school? Or do you want your kids to learn and grow and be grateful and have friends from all different places, really?
Mm, okay. Clara is here with us too. Clara, what's your thoughts on this discussion today?
Okay, well, my kids do go to a fee-paying school, and really, I think tarring them all with the same brush is wrong. Like, the school that my kids go to isn't one of those old boys, like, school tie schools at all. Like, they'd be a fraction, maybe a third of the cost of those schools. And they're in, like, the reason why I picked the particular school that my children go to is because they are incredibly inclusive, you know, in relation to special needs. And in fact, a lot of the fees that we are paying into the school go towards their magnificent resource system. You know, I know people who are single parents who do send their kids to this particular school, and their kids have special needs, because in a regular, you know, state school, their child wouldn't be able to avail of like one-on-one SNA, whereas because the school, you know, because you're paying these fees, the fees go into like one-on-one SNAs and resources for kids, and they wouldn't be able to get them in state schools.
Okay.
And really, like, I know we are very privileged to be able to do this for kids.
Do you feel, you know, because like there's a mix in the text messages coming into us here on the News Talk text line today, Clara, from people. And like, look, there's definitely a sense of, you know, the privilege of going to a private school is, you know, is quite an elitist position to be, or an elite position to be in. But I mean, do you ever feel judged?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, no. And I have a younger child who goes to the local primary school, and I have overheard snide comments. You know, so, yeah. But the thing is, I don't care, because when my child did go to the state school and he was bullied, the school really did nothing for him. And, like, I went through all of the states. I knew I had to move schools. And when we looked at all of the other schools, there were no structures in any of the other schools to, you know, to cater for him being able to socialise with other kids. Like, we needed a structure in place where they might have lunchtime clubs and stuff like that. There were none in any of the other schools. And we said, okay, look, we'll just start pulling money out of nowhere. We'll, you know, there's no foreign holidays. There's one car. You know, there's loads of work that needs to be done in the house. You know, it's not like we're, you know,
you're redirecting kind of the money.
We're completely budgeting for this, and we're not putting money in some areas, you know, because the kids need, you know, because this is absolutely the best school for the kids. And like I was saying it to my, like, to my husband when we were deciding to move schools, and we were saying, look, can we cover these fees and stuff? And we said, well, you know, the cost of fees for a year is like, you know, less of the cost of, like, you know, the therapy that he needs having to stay on in the school that he was in, and not getting the supports that he absolutely needed. And my second child is autistic, and this is a fantastic school for her as well, because you have small class sizes, which is what you're essentially paying for, you have numerous after-school clubs and lunchtime clubs that aren't sports related. So it's science and debating and chess and arts and crafts and a social club, you know, and she's absolutely thriving in this school,
okay,
whereas
good.
She didn't in primary school.
Have you sacrificed a lot, Clara, to do this?
Absolutely, yeah. Like, you know, it's not a sacrifice because it's worth it and the kids are happy. Like, I had a child in first year who was crying every day. And now I have a child who's in fifth year who will say to me that, like, he says it. Like, he's very aware that this is such a brilliant school for him.
Mm.
You know, and that he has benefited enormously, and he will thank us, like, and say it was the best move we ever made for him to send him to this particular school.
Okay.
It wasn't that we had to move him to any school, it's that we moved him to a school that 100% was able to support him.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, as look, certainly, Clara, it sounds like it was money well spent, so in your position.
You know, for people to kind of pull the privilege card is, you know, or the old... Okay, the privilege card I absolutely get because, you know, having the money to do this is a privilege. But to pull out the old boys card and the school tie card is, like, absolutely not.
No, and it's not. And it's and like, I know myself, you know, having been in, as I said earlier, the position of having gone to both state and private, that's absolutely not the case for an awful lot of the schools you're talking about. Clara, listen, thanks for getting in touch with us here on the show today. Aisling and Owen as well. There's lots of you getting in touch with us too in the News Talk text line about this. Al says, when my son started secondary school, a state school, I was told when I looked for an SNA that you do know... that the child in the that he'd be the only child in the school with one. So obviously we were put off. In a secondary school with 1,000 pupils, I suspect I wasn't the only parent. So that's not just in private schools. Jack has got in touch to say the simple fact is, in a free society, parents are free to spend their hard-earned money on whatever they want. Close the private schools, which is actually the position of some, and the taxpayers will have to pay the extra cost. And another listener too getting in touch with us to say not all private schools are as elitist as you might think. You can keep them coming into us on 5310.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk
with Avant Card. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.